One of the most important things that we do as a church is that we pray. And I know with all the experience...
Continue it with a couple stories to begin things this morning. This one's one of my favorite stories to tell. It's of a little boy who is getting ready for the big game. And he realizes that he needs to work a little bit on his hitting. And so he pulls out his trusty bat that he has in his closet and his good old baseball. And he calls up a bunch of friends to see if they want to play. And he calls lots of his friends only to find out that one of them's out fishing, another one's out to the mall. All of his friends are out doing other things. But he decides he really needs to practice. So he goes into the backyard, finds a nice open patch of grass, and has his bat in one hand and his ball in the other, and he decides he's going to pitch to himself and take some swings and work on his swing some. But he realizes that the physical ability is only part of what's required. It's mental, too. And so he says to himself out loud, "I am the greatest hitter in the whole world." He throws the ball up into the air, waits for it to come down, and takes a huge and mighty swing. Strike one. Totally missed the ball. I mean, it wasn't even close. He did take a great swing, and his stance was good, but the ball plopped onto the ground. So he's undaunted. He picks up the ball a second time, stares at the ball with a mean face, and says, "I am the greatest hitter in the whole world." Throws the ball into the air, takes a mighty swing, and hits nothing but air. Strike two. Terrible swing this time. Wasn't even close. The ball is just sitting innocently on the ground, just daring the boy to hit it. So the boy decides, one more try. One more try. Takes that ball into his hand, puts the bat over his right shoulder, stares at it, very quietly and firmly says, "I am the greatest hitter in the whole world." Throws the ball into the air, takes a mighty swing, watches the ball the entire time, and watches as the ball sails past the bat onto the ground for the third time. Poor kid. He decides to pick up the ball one last time, put his bat down on the ground, and pick up his glove and say, "I am the greatest pitcher in the whole world!" Here's another story. It takes place on a baseball field. A man approached a Little League baseball game one day, came in late, didn't know what the score was. So he went to the dugout and asked one of the little boys what the score was. The boy responded, "We're behind, 18-0. Might as well have been 30-5, but it's 18-0. "Boy," said the spectator. The man says, "I'll bet you're really discouraged." The little boy says, "Why should I be discouraged? We haven't even gotten up to bat yet." The theme for the service today is about hope. And I think it's pretty easy for us to put ourselves in the shoes of those two little boys in those stories. There are times when it is tough to have hope. If you liken life to a baseball game, there are a lot of times when you feel like you're down by 18 runs and you haven't even gotten up to bat yet. Or times when you're only down by one run, but all your players are gone. There is a difference, it seems, between having hope and being delirious. I mean, come on. There are times when we have to be realistic, right? It is tough to have hope today. Sometimes your life is up and sometimes it's down. Sometimes it's tough to have hope. It's really tough to have hope if you're Mary and Martha today. Put yourself in Mary and Martha's shoes. They, like many of us, had an ill loved one. Their dear brother Lazarus was fighting an illness. an illness that was taking his life slowly and painfully, and they were watching as their young brother, Lazarus, was starting to breathe his last breath. Mary and Martha thought they had hope. They believed that they had hope, because what did they do? They sent for Jesus. They sent for Jesus to come because they believed that this man, Jesus, could heal their brother and keep him from dying. This same Jesus who healed the blind man and made the crippled man to walk could possibly heal Lazarus. So they sent for Jesus. They said, "Jesus, if you come here, we believe that Lazarus can be healed by your very touch, by your very word. Please come." We'd like to think that Jesus came right away. We'd like to think that all turns out well if we just ask Jesus for our every request. We like to think that if we just have faith and trust, that everything will work out just fine. Is that what happened in the story? Got news for you. Lazarus died anyway. And Jesus was nowhere to be found. It's tough in this life to have hope. It's tough when we're going through such struggles and such battles. When we try to convince ourselves that we are leaving it all up to God, that we are having faith and trust, but we don't have hope. You see, there's a difference. We can have faith and trust because that's all in here. We can cognitively, in our minds, turn it all over to God, ask God to help us. But the toughest thing is to have hope, because that's in here. Hope resides in our souls. And hope is the toughest thing to have when the chips are stacked against us. And so for Mary and Martha to watch their brother die and to not see Jesus around was a blow to their faith and trust. And they didn't have hope. Maybe in your own personal lives, that's the situation you find yourself, in need of hope, learning what it is to be hopeful in a God who you pray to every day. As a world, as a church, we pray these prayers all the time because we are in a world that desperately needs to have hope again. Just take a look at your televisions and your newspapers. Is it a world of hope right now? More often than not, we hear the bad news. All the tough things that are happening in the world. Innocent people being killed every day. Drug abuse and violence all over the place. Kids killing kids. Drugs and hate all around us. And we proclaim on the one hand one nation under God, but the deep down inside truth is that we're still divided. And we're still hurting each other. Physically and emotionally, politically and socially. We've got to ask, where, oh God, can we find hope today? We feel like Mary and Martha, because our brothers, Lazarus, are dying all around us. Where can we find the hope? Regardless of your situation in life, I invite you to hear Jesus' words like you've never heard them before. Pretend that you are Mary and Martha, and listen to what Jesus has to tell you. Because what Jesus has to say is very important. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus says that he is the resurrection. And if there is one thing that we can hope for and believe in this world and in our lives, it is the resurrection. Not just as a historical event, but the fact that God is resurrecting things every day, even today. That God is not in the business of letting dead things die, but bringing new things to life. Even when we think that all is gone, and all is hopeless, and nothing is worth praying for, and things are too hopeless in this world, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life," and God says, "I'm still going to bring new things to life." God's like GE. He brings new things to life. But Jesus isn't finished. These four words that Jesus says next are the most interesting words in this passage to me. Because Jesus turns from preacher to pastor with four little words. This is what he says. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Four words. And I got to believe that Jesus is saying those words to me today. And Jesus is saying those words to you today. It is one thing to have faith and trust, to believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, because you can do that with your mind. And David can do it with his voice. But Jesus says, do you believe it? Do you feel it in your soul? Are you willing to give me the situation in your heart as well as in your mind? I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus can bring life from death? Do you believe that Jesus offers hope when all hope is gone? If not, you need to turn your heart over to God as well as your mind. To not just have faith and trust, but hope as well. Words of hope. We pray this every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Do you know that? Whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray words of hope. And the words of hope in there are, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Pray those all the time. Do we really know what those mean? I believe that those are prayers of hope. And I like to pray them as if they say this, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. God, show me what's coming. Give me a teaser. Just a little precursor of what heaven will be like right here on earth. Give me a sense of what it will be like in heaven right now. Show me what this world will be like when there is no more pain and no more death. When people get along and all of us worship you. Give us peace and wholeness, rejuvenation and life. Thy kingdom come. Don't just let this heaven thing be something in the future. Lord, show me what it is to have your kingdom real right now. And I invite you, if you have never prayed that prayer before, to pray those words as a prayer of hope. Lord, give me a teaser. Show me what heaven will be like right now in my life and in this world. Because this world needs hope. And you are the only one who can provide it. In just a few moments, we're going to be celebrating communion today. And it's an important time to take communion because we are still on our way to the cross. And many of you on this Lenten journey have faced struggles in your life that you have not struggled before. And so this morning, God is inviting you to the table of the Lord. To lift up all those struggles to the cross, knowing that when you come to the cross, you can find hope there. Because God has been there before, and God will see you through. And just like when Jesus took some bread and some fish and multiplied it and fed thousands of hungry people, there is enough Jesus for everyone. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, there is hope right here for you. So this morning when you come up, I invite you to stay here at the altar rail as long as you need to empty yourself before God and let God fill you up right here at the Feast of Victory for our God. Let us have hope this week. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.